Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Socialism Utopian and Scientific is a short political philosophy work by Friedrich Engels. Originally extracted from his broader polemic Anti-Düring and published as a separate text in 1880, it is one of the most accessible introductions to Marxist theory because Engels writes for a broad working-class audience rather than for academic specialists. The book's central purpose is to distinguish utopian socialism, which relies on ideal social blueprints and moral appeals, from scientific socialism, which claims to analyze society through material conditions, historical development, and class relations. Engels argues that socialism should be understood not as a dream imposed from above, but as the outcome of real contradictions within capitalism. As a result, the book functions both as a critique of earlier socialist thinkers and as a compact explanation of historical materialism, making it a foundational text for readers seeking to understand classical Marxist methodology. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why Engels rejects utopian socialism as a theory of social change. Engels presents utopian socialism as valuable for its moral seriousness, but inadequate as a guide to historical change. Thinkers such as Fourier are treated as visionaries who imagine better societies through reasoned design. Yet their models depend on what Engels sees as abstract ideals, rather than analysis of actual social forces. This matters because the book does not simply dismiss utopian writers as naive, it argues that their weakness lies in method. They describe how society ought to look, but they do not explain how existing society develops into something else. Engels therefore uses the term utopian to identify an approach that begins in moral imagination and ends in proposals that lack a realistic route to implementation. The point is methodological as much as political. For Engels, a credible theory of socialism must account for historical movement, class conflict, and economic structure instead of relying on persuasive intentions or ethical aspiration alone. Secondly, historical materialism as the core of scientific socialism. The most important theoretical claim in the book is that social and political change must be explained through material conditions, especially modes of production and exchange. Engels argues that the driving causes of revolutions and transformations are not first found in ideas, but in the organization of economic life. This is the basis of historical materialism, which reads history as a sequence of changes in how societies produce, distribute, and organize labor. The book uses this framework to reframe socialism as a product of capitalism itself rather than a freestanding moral ideal. That shift is decisive. Socialism becomes comprehensible as a historical response to industrial development, not merely an invention of reformers. Engels' argument gives readers a way to connect philosophy with economy, showing that legal systems, politics, and culture are shaped by underlying production relations. In that sense, scientific socialism is not a prediction based on optimism, but an explanatory method that seeks to understand social order from its material foundations. Thirdly, capitalism generates the contradictions that make socialism possible. Engels ties the emergence of socialism to the contradictions of modern capitalist industry. He argues that capitalism expands productive power while also concentrating wealth, intensifying exploitation, and deepening class division. These tensions are not accidental flaws, but structural features of the system. The significance of this point is that socialism appears, in Engels' account, as an outcome of capitalist development rather than an external correction applied from the outside. Industrial society creates new collective forms of labor, new social dependencies, and new conflicts between capital and labor. Scientific socialism therefore studies capitalism not only to criticize it, but to identify the conditions under which it may be transformed. This is why the book remains more analytical than prophetic. Engels is less interested in ideal institutional designs than in showing that capitalism carries internal contradictions that make social reorganization historically intelligible. Readers interested in political economy will find that the text links criticism of capitalism directly to an account of systemic change. Fourthly, the book is a popular primer for working-class political education. Socialism Utopian and Scientific was intended as a concise introduction to Marxist ideas for a broad readership, especially workers involved in socialist politics. Its style reflects that purpose. Engels compresses major theoretical disputes into a short, argumentative, and accessible form. The text does not assume deep familiarity with Hegel, economics, or 19th-century socialist debates, even though it is grounded in all three. Instead, it clarifies basic concepts such as socialism, class struggle, and historical development in a way that could support political education and movement building. This educational role is central to the book's historical importance. It was widely circulated because it helped translate complex Marxist concepts into a readable framework for activists and labor organizers. The value of the book lies not only in its theory, but in its pedagogy. Engels is trying to equip readers with categories for interpreting society, so that political arguments can begin from structure and evidence rather than slogans or abstract ideals. Lastly, why the text still matters for reading politics through economic structure. The enduring value of the book lies in its insistence that political debate should be grounded in economic structure and historical context. Engels encourages readers to ask where social proposals come from, what material forces support them, and which class interests they address. That habit of analysis remains useful beyond the original socialist controversy because it shifts discussion away from rhetoric and toward explanation. The text stands out among political philosophy works because it is short, forceful, and conceptually focused. It does not build a complete blueprint for a future society, but it gives a framework for judging claims about reform, equality, and progress. For modern readers, this means the book can function as a guide to interpreting public policy, labor conflict, and inequality with greater precision. Its relevance comes from the clarity of its method. Even readers who disagree with Engels gain a sharper sense of how material conditions, institutions, and class relations shape political outcomes more powerfully than purely moral arguments do. In conclusion, Socialism, Utopian, and Scientific is best suited to readers who want a compact, historically important introduction to Marxist thought, especially the distinction between moralized social vision and materialist analysis. Students of political theory, history, economics, and labor politics will all find value in it, as will readers trying to understand why Marxism became influential as both a critique of capitalism and a method of interpretation. Its main practical benefit is analytical. It trains readers to look at economic structure, class relations, and historical change rather than treating politics as a matter of abstract ideals alone. That makes it useful even for those who are skeptical of socialism, because Engels' method can sharpen how arguments about reform, inequality, and industrial society are evaluated. Compared with many political manifestos, the book is unusually concise and pedagogical. Compared with more technical Marxist works, it is far more accessible. What distinguishes it most is that it does not merely defend socialism. It explains how Engels thinks socialism became intellectually possible in the first place. That combination of historical explanation, theoretical clarity, and polemical force is what has kept the book central in political education for more than a century. If you would like to support Friedrich Engels, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.